about Jesus. How many of you have talked out about cold? Y'all, the cold you want. That's why we're in Florida, because we didn't want that. Amen? Amen? Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, empower us today. Give us ears that'll hear. It'll change our life. It'll make us men and women that'll stand up, take our place, speak the word of the living God, and come before you, Lord God, that we might be arrayed for battle, and that you, Father God, might vindicate in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Now, look at the one next to you and tell him you probably haven't heard anything like this before. Some of you have. But just look at him. Prepare him now. Because the most successful thief in the earth today, the most devastating thief, the most deceptive thief in the history of the world is Satan. And how many of you have had some things stolen from you and you would like to get just a small portion back? Would you just raise your hand, just kind of wave it at me? Just even a small portion would be enough. How many of you would like double what you lost? Maybe four times or five times what you lost. Maybe seven. How many of you go for seven? That's all the higher I'm going. In the Word, it doesn't go any higher than that. Seven times. So you just got to pick. Now, Jesus, when he was speaking of Satan, he said that he was the one that came to kill and steal and destroy. And in Mark, look if you would at Mark chapter 3, verse 27, he said that no man, no one, listen to what he's saying, nobody can enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except, what does he do? First, he binds the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Then he will take the spoils back. Now, I talked last week about going through before the court, the high court, the righteous judge with a binding precedent. And this week I'm going to talk about the law of restitution and going before God for restitution for what you have lost, what has been stolen from you, what has been in your life killed, stolen, destroyed in your life. Now I will tell you this before we go any farther. If you will do what I tell you today to do, it will change your life in such an incredible way that you will not believe what God could do just for you beginning to speak and going before the court of God. I will tell you history later. In Exodus 22, look in verse number 1. This is God's law of restitution. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep or kill it or sell it, he shall restore how many? Okay, if he's stealing, he's restored five oxen, four sheep for a sheep. So we have four times and five times here. Verse 2. If the thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall be no bloodshed for him. Now, hear me. You find some worthless, no good, pawn scum, slob in your house stealing something, and he happens to die at that time, there's no bloodshed. Boy, it's quiet. Boy, it's quiet, isn't it? Ah, well, that's a law in Florida, too. Well, I just thought I'd cheer up. I'll tell you about God's love in a minute. I'm just telling you, if he gets shot and dies, it's okay. Verse 3. Pastor, I never heard anything like this. Well, read your Bible. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be bloodshed for him. Once the sun rises, you can't be shooting somebody that's just in there. If you see him in the sun the next day, he shall make full restitution. You don't get to shoot him then. He's got to make restitution. And if he hath nothing, then he be sold for a thief. Okay? If he doesn't have anything, you sell him into slavery for what he's stolen. And how many of you think that if more people were put into slavery, I'm talking hard, you know, busting rocks and back-breaking stuff, if they were put in for servitude in that manner, how many of you think crying might go, cheer up, we'll get better. Four, if the thief be certainly found in his hands alive, whether it be an ox or an ass or sheep, he shall restore how much?
Double.
Now this is the least that can be restored, or the least that God wants in his laws of restitution to give back to you is double. Verse 5. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, shall put in his beast, shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. So if somebody puts their cows, their livestock on your pasture to feed, to go into your vineyard to feed, he has to make restitution of the very best that he has. You don't give them the little scrawny ones. Amen. You give them the very best. You get the very best. Verse 6. If a fire break out and catch in the thorns so that stacks of corn, standing corn, or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. And what's the least you can get?
Double.
7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay how much?
8.
If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought into the judges to see whether he put his hands into his neighbor's good. You don't think that could happen, do you? Why are you smiling? You don't think that could happen, do you? Then we ring the guy holding the money to see if he had anything to do with it. 9. For all manners of trespass, whether it be for an ox or an ass or sheep or raiment, clothing, or any manner of loss thing, anything that's lost, that's stolen, that's taken from you, whether which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before, what happens? The judge. And whom the judge shall condemn, he shall pay what?
Double
unto his neighbor. Now listen, frivolous lawsuits would go by the way if you stood before the judge and it went against you and now you had to pay double. Many of the lawsuits come up just say, hey, let's take a chance. I might get something out of it. If there was a chance you had to pay double, some of those would go by the wayside. Amen? Now, you have the God's law of restitution, but go back. It says both parties, if for something that's taken from you and there's a challenge, both parties come before the judge. The judge hears the case. And whoever he condemns has to pay double. That's the minimum amount. Now, sometimes, how many of you have ever heard somebody steal something from you? Anybody had their home broken into or their house or something stolen out of your purse or taken or whatever? When that happens, you get angry. There's anger comes in. You grieve. There's a grieving. There's a loss that comes in. What happens is that anger and stress and that pain and that loss and disbelief, you're personally violated. You're in a place and that dirty good-for-nothing that took it, all you want them to do is kind of burn in hell. Amen? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Now, come on, get with me. Have you ever thought, man, just mash him like a bug, God? Raise your hand. Just say, stole from me. Okay. Now take a breath and say, we're not going there today. Because I want you to understand, if you will do what's right, keep your attitude right, and go before God right, you can have restitution, and the minimum amount is double what has been stolen from you. And you've already agreed you'd like that. Billions of dollars are stolen from the people of God every day. It happens. Investments gone bad. Ever had an investment gone bad? Business go under. Loan not repaid. Words broken. Money lost. Cars, finances, health, everything. And many Christians say, well, maybe God wants me to lose everything to teach you a lesson. No. That is not in the Bible. That is a lie directly out of hell. God is not teaching you a lesson by stealing from you. Look at the one next to you and say, well, that's good preaching. Glad I came for that part. He is not teaching you that. God's not the one that kills, steals, destroys. That's Satan. It's marked out very plain in your Bible. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one that brings us good, that teaches us good. And God does not do us evil. Amen? Now, you can get off in sin and rebellion. Anybody ever been there? Just smile. Don't raise your hand this time. You can get in sin and rebellion and lose everything. Talk to the prodigal son. Man, you can waste your money, lose everything you've got because of sin and rebellion. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit's our teacher. Not loss, not things that are stolen. And I choose to believe him and not men. Now, I do not expect God to teach me by stealing from me. Is that pretty clear? Am I pretty clear on that part? Okay. How many of you ever loaned money to somebody and it was never repaid? How many ever loaned money to a family member? It was never repaid. Them worthless, no good, yeah, right? And if you, the one that borrowed money, should I say, don't raise your hand. How many of you ever borrowed money and didn't repay it because it just didn't work out? You had all intentions, good intentions of paying it back. You're gonna get money here and this is gonna happen but lost money, a business deal went belly up. How many of you have been sucked in on a get rich quick scheme, one of them pyramid things? Man, I'm gonna sign you up and sign you up and sign you up, and everybody goes and signs people up, and after you all sign people up, money's gonna be flowing to me. And you sign up your best friends and nothing happens and nobody can sell anything and money doesn't flow and it doesn't work and everybody's mad at each other. Amen. Oh, me. And for whatever reason, the money's not there, the relationship's broke, family members don't talk anymore, church members don't talk, the relationship's broke, your relationship's broken with God, because how could God let this happen? And what are Christians supposed to do? So, well, Brother Bill, the Bible says turn the other cheek. How many cheeks you got? Are you there? How many times can you do that? If Christians are, it's Christian love, just roll over and play dead. No, you don't find that in your Bible. You're supposed to stand up and fight the battle, fight the good fight of faith. And listen to me, because you don't hear much about restitution in the courts of our land. Murderers, rapists, thieves, child molesters, the list goes on, gets to the place where the thief is, they put on probation, the murderer's put on probation, and the charges are dismissed because someone's underage, because someone's under the influence, because someone's crazy. I mean, they go in and stab 7 people, they're nuts. There's nobody arguing they're crazy. But that shouldn't be the defense for them. Amen? If they're under the influence and do something, how many of you think, yeah, it's wrong. And we've got to understand restitution comes from God, not from man. Restitution comes from God. Look back at this and you'll see in verse number 9, all manner of trespass. Whatever manner of loss it is, when another challenges, both parties come to court. Any manner of loss, both parties come before the judge. Now, if you will hear me today and do this, what I tell you, because faith without works is what? You can hear this. You can go wrong. You can be a forgetful hearer. But if you'll bring both parties before the judge, they'll have to pay double. Now, America would stop and think again if they were paying double when they lost the cases. Amen? Now, I'm going to introduce something to you. It'll change your life forever. It changed Barbara and I's life. But you have to use it. You have to speak it. You have to take it before the high court of God. First, you have to recognize who the thief really is. As a child of God, if you don't recognize who the thief is, all you're going to do is get bitter and be full of unforgiveness until you realize who the thief actually is. And it says, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's Satan. He also tells us the devil comes as a roaring lion, seeking what? Who he can devour, what he can take from you, what he can devour. And we make the mistake of focusing on the instrument that didn't repay the loan, that sucked us in, that stole, that broke into our car, that did whatever. And instead of Satan, who's behind the thief, and the scripture's very plain, and every Christian knows, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not people. People are idiots. Look at the one next to you and say, yeah, those other people aren't they, hon? What can they do? If they can do something wrong, they can do it. Some people can mess up anvils with a toothpick. I mean, their life is a disaster. And if you get around them, cheer up. You get to be part of the disaster. Amen? Oh, say amen so I'll know you're here. I mean, say it loud. I really wonder. Oh, okay, I'm feeling good about you now. You're awake. We loan somebody money. They don't repay it. We get mad at them. Root of bitterness comes in, destroys the rest of our life. Unforgiveness comes in because somebody did us wrong. Somebody did us wrong. We don't take care of it. It destroys our life. And we have to first recognize who's the thief. It's Satan behind that person. Just like the serpent was used in the garden, Satan is still working in the lives of other people here on earth now. Are you still with me? Then you must recognize your responsibility, because most people want God to fight all your battles. Amen? How many of you are for that? I'm for it. I want God to fight all my battles. He doesn't do that. And we expect God to do everything, and we expect God to fight the battles, but we're His soldiers. We're His weapons of war. Teach my hands how to war, is what the psalmist said. Teach me how to do battles. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. And as long as you let these strongholds get in your life, you're never going to go forward. But we like to rejoice. Look at Exodus 14, verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. For I've heard preachers preach on that in the congregation, shout them down. Stand still, God's going to fight for you. Stand still, God's going to do everything. Stand still, God's going to destroy the enemy. You're never going to have to deal with them again. Everybody said, amen. I kind of like that too, Pastor. 14, let's look at the next verse. And the Lord shall fight for you. And everybody said, oh, thank you, God. And you shall hold your peace. Shut up, God's going to do the work. Amen? But let's read the next verse, 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why criest thou unto me? Or, new translation, what are you whining about? Speak unto the children of Israel that they'd go forward. You got to, without works, or faith without works is what? Dead, being alone. There's got to be action to what you believe. And if you believe what I say today, if that gets down in your heart, you'll put action to it, and I'll guarantee you, I'll tell you some of the stories at the end for my life and Barbara's life of what God did just when I started confessing what I'm going to give you today. Because if you will use it, it'll change everything. But he said, quit whining. Some of you are whiners. I'm not looking. Go ahead. Put both hands up if you're a real whiner. Are you there? Don't go there. We need to get ready, get ourselves set, get to going. But he said to Moses, speak. You speak. You've got to speak. And most people do not know the power that they have, the power in their words. How many of you have had somebody's words hurt you? Man, is that powerful? How many of you have had some words wound you so bad that it's years before you even think about getting over it? Raise your hand. How powerful are those words? Let me tell you how powerful those words here on earth, and you see it, but let me tell you how powerful they are in the spirit world. John, ask, and what? You shall receive. We know that, but you've got to vocalize. You've got to get that out. You've got to ask, and you're going to receive it. You're going to ask here on earth, and it's going to come. That answer is going to come out of the spirit world, and it's going to be set into play because you ask. 1 John says, we know we have what we ask for if he hears us. In order for him to hear us, you've got to ask. Are you there? When we begin to see that, he says, anything you bind on earth, you take the authority over it and bind it up here on earth, it's bound in heaven. If you loose it here on earth, what happens? Do you know how powerful you are? So, well, I'm not a very strong Christian. Well, it's time to get some strength. Amen? It's time to start motivated to use what God's given you. Think of this if you want to see how powerful your actions here on earth. How many of you have ever put anything in an offering? Raise your hand. Okay, wave it at me. Oh, good, good. Givers. Let me tell you what happens according to the book of Romans or the book of Hebrews. It says, when men give gifts unto men here on earth, it's presented to God in heaven. Whatever your gift is, however big, however small, when you give it, when the offering was passed here, when you gave to God here on earth and men took it up, and when you put it in there, it was presented to God in heaven at that time. Your action, do you see how powerful your actions are? And every word that you say is going to be held. Yes. Every word that you say. Maybe you've got some things you say, I don't want to say that anymore. You need to understand how much power you really have. He said, you speak, you lift up the rod, you'll see the Red Sea open, you'll see this, you'll lead them out of there. You will, after that's over, your enemies be destroyed because you took action. And we need to speak against our enemy, amen? We must do our part, amen? We must know who our enemy is. See, you ought to be saying every morning, every noon, every night, you ought to be saying, devil, take your hands off my life, my children, my finances, my ministry. And I mean, you ought to be getting pretty tough about it. Amen. You're not making friends with the devil. You're taking authority over him. You're demanding he loose. And Satan, I'm filing charges for you in the court of heaven. And just let him know what's happening. And I'm demanding restitution. I am demanding. Now, you're not demanding God for restitution. You're demanding that Satan make restitution for what he's stolen. You're in the court of God. And it's that demanding restitution to be paid everything that he stole from you. Now, any time you've been a loss, you've got a right to go before God and demand restitution. But you must confront the guilty party. If you bring the wrong party before the court of God, your case is going to be dismissed. Are you hearing me? The wrong party, no evidence, you're blaming them. They're only the instrument of Satan. You bring the wrong party to the judge, and all he can do is dismiss the case, and then you get mad at God. Because I prayed about this, I took this before God, and he did nothing. Are you there? And you get full of bitterness and unforgiveness. You won't talk to him, and you're mad, and you're stomping around, and you see him, you don't want anything to do with him. Have you ever felt those ways? Yes. Well, we all have. Just some of us will say, When you recognize Satan as a thief in your life, when you recognize and bring him before the righteous judge, when you demand restitution for wealth, health, family, ministry, many of you have ever had ministry stolen, walked off from it. When you demand these things that he has stolen, he has to reply. And when he has to reply, he can only give you the least amount he can give you is how much? Double what he's taken. And how many of you could use some double? Now the problem's not the banker. Worthless, no good banker. Problem's not the banker. I won't argue with adjectives, but problem's not the banker. the lawyer, the car salesman. You need this car. This is a brand new car. This was driven by a little old lady just to Sunday school, and it's a great car, and you drive it off the lot, and the piece of junk falls. There's pieces falling off as you drive away. And who do you get mad at? Car salesman. Well, be mad at them all you want. So, well, Pastor Cox, it's not right for them dirty, no good, disgusting people to get away with that. Take a deep breath. God's got it under control. Because it says in Thessalonians, it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Is that a good verse? That's a good verse. Meaning, if you'll keep your attitude right, if you'll do what's right, God will take care of them, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, what happens if you love your enemies? And what happens if you love your enemies? It heaps coals of fire on your head. And when you see it, you go, oh, thank you, God, right? Well, attitude's not right at that time. Ain't going to be happening, okay? So you got to get you right. See, Jesus came and says, I give you a new law. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Your neighbor. Your job's to love people, to love men. If somebody does you wrong, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That dirty rat that did you wrong, that rookie-dude you, it's okay. You're still required to love them. But if they've stabbed you in the back, don't get a knife, a bigger knife. Walk up to them, hand it to them, turn around, say, I'll take your best shot. You're not a doormat. Amen? You're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It's what the scripture said. You still with me? Learn to stay away from that. Man, if somebody gets you in trouble all the time, why in the world do you want to run around with them? Yeah, that's why I tell my kids, it applies to you. Amen? The law of restitution to work in your life, you have to bring charges. You have to go to the court of the highest court of the universe. And I gave you many of these principles last week in the binding precedent and going before the high court. You've got an advocate. His name's Jesus Christ. That's a lawyer in today's verbiage. It is a lawyer to stand with you. But charges have to be brought, and they have to be brought by you. You have to speak those charges. You have to say them. And God's not going to make the charges for you. God's not your servant, not your errand boy. When you walk into court in this land, you don't walk up before the court and just stand there. So, well, the judge says, what do you want? So, well, I thought you'd do the charges. No. What do you want? You have to speak. You have to put your case there. And God is waiting on you to take some action, to prove his law is true, to stand up and take your place, to file charges. Do you think the armor of God's just for looks? No, it's to do battle. That armor guarantees you victory. And it's not given to you except for battle. Put it on. Get arrayed. Get ready to go to battle. And the problem's not God's legal system. God is a righteous judge. God sets on a throne of judgment, a throne of grace. The problem is we don't bring the guilty person before him. And when you come in there whining and crying about flesh and you let the true thief not even be in court and bring somebody else, and then God says, I'm not doing anything with this. He dismisses the case, and now all you do is get bitter and filled up with unforgiveness. Still with me? Have I said that enough? You got it yet? Okay. You bring the devil before God, the righteous judge. You charge him as a thief. You demand restitution. Now let's go to the next step. How many of you have heard of an ex parte? Anybody? A few of you? That is a restraining order. How many of you have heard of restraining orders? Oh, now we're getting down to it. You just got to speak English, Pastor. You know, that Latin stuff doesn't work, does it? An order for a judge to issue a restraining order to keep people from bothering you, So they can't come with so many feet of you. They can't come to your home. They can't come to your work. They can't call you 100 times. They can't drive by your house in the morning and honk and rev up their engine and do all this stuff. They can't bother you. No contact. So, Pastor, you can't get a restraining order against the devil. Job had one. Read the first couple of chapters of Job. And you'll see God said to him, said to Satan, said, take a shot at Job. He said, I can't. You have a hedge around him. You have a restraining apparatus around him where I can't get to him. I want to. I take my best shot at him. And listen to me, no judge is going to order a restraining order until charges are filed. And if you stand in the court, the righteous court, before a righteous judge and file the charges, and ask God to protect you. How many of you have prayed and asked that your family, that you bound up Satan and wouldn't let him to your family, your finances? How many ever prayed that way? You asked for a restraining order, didn't even know what it was. Okay? Now, when you understand and you listen to me, when you file those charges, things start happening. Now look at Matthew 18. Verily I say unto you, or truly, truly I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be what? Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. Now you have legal authority to bind Satan and restrain him, and God back that up. The family, the finances, the marriage. You go to the judge and bind Satan. Now, listen to me for a minute. No man can go and spoil the strong man's house until first he do what? Bind the strong man. See how that's put together? And when you bind the strong man, then you can demand restitution. Then you can get back from him the spoils of what he has stolen from you and from others. There will be no spoils. I want to stop it. I want to recognize who the enemy is. I demand that there be an ex parte. I demand that it be bound here on earth as it is in heaven. And at that point, whatsoever you loose on earth is be loosed in heaven. And you demand the law of restitution to be loosed in your life. And God begins at that time to command Satan to release what is rightfully yours. At least double. Some 4, some 5, some 7. Now, look at Matthew 18, verse 19. Let's take one step more. You've bound him. You've got him in a restraining place. Now, listen to what this says. That if 2 of you shall agree on earth, where do you agree at? As touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Have you ever thought when 2 people, your prayer partner, your husband, your wife's the greatest 2 witnesses that can agree, but your prayer partner, your friends, when you come down here to the altar and somebody meets you and prays with you, at that time when you agree as touching what?
Anything.
Anything you shall ask. Anything. Say it with me. Anything that you shall ask, it shall be done. It shall be done. It's going to happen. Now you have the authority to do this, any 2 of you, to bind and loose. To bind up here, it be bound in heaven. To loose the laws and the things of God, and it be loosed in heaven. And it be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. You still there? Get somebody to agree with you. Say, amen. I'm going to be binding Satan this morning. Just wanted you to know where I was going. And if you want to stand with me, get your war garb on and come stand with me. We're going to take some thumps on him today because I'm tired of him beating up and taking and stealing and killing and destroying my family, my finances, my ministry, my things. Will you agree with me? Because I'm going to demand restitution. I'm going to demand that it come back double to me at least. And I might get bold, start talking about 7 times or 5 times. When you see the law requires a witness. Now listen to the Matthew 18, 16. It says that if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, listen to this, every word may be what? When you get somebody to agree with you in the mouths of those two or three witnesses as they speak it, and don't get a silent prayer partner. Thank you for that, amen. Don't get a silent prayer partner. So, Brother Bill, I'm just shy. I can't speak. Boy, get you fired up, get you mad, step on your toe. We can't get you to shut up. And before the high court of God, we need somebody that's going to pray. Somebody's going to pray out loud. And if you have trouble praying out loud, start reading the scripture out loud. And you'll get some boldness, get some things going. Amen. Now, you have the authority, any two of you. And the case is a lot stronger because when you come two or three witnesses, every word is established. Binding precedent becomes and takes place. And the law requires this. Now, there is no judge that's going to deny a case when you make the charges, when you reveal the thief, when you demand restitution, when you bring witnesses with you, when you're standing up there, you bind him up so he cannot come against you anymore. And in Mark 3, verse 27, no man can enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods except, say that with me, except first he bind the strong man. And then he'll spoil his goods. Nobody can do it any other way. You try to go around the back door, it's not going to happen. This is how it happens. You go before the court of God. And Jesus is talking about Satan. And to demand restitution, you got to bind Satan up. And once he's bound up, you then can get back at least double what he's stolen from you. Amen? Now let me give you a little depth from the old book. Shadow. Type. Look at Isaiah 49. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Verse 25. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives, the slaves, the oppressed of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. You need deliverance? You need out of slavery? You need out of bondage? For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I'll save thy children. Now you're not fighting for you alone. You're not doing battle for just you. I'll contend. God will get in the face of the one that's getting in the face of you. God will get in the oppression mode for those that are oppressing you. God will come against that one that has enslaved you and deliver you. He will contend with those that are contending with you and will also save what? How important are they to you? How important are your children? How important are your grandchildren? How important do they get? I prayed more down here at the altar call today for altar when people were coming down at the first of both services. Both of them were prayers for brothers, for sisters, children, grandchildren, to try to loose them, to bring them back to the place, to deliver them from drugs and alcohol and bring them into the church and get their and families being upset. I didn't pray with one like that. I prayed with six this morning. And when we begin to see God will save your children, God will contend with those that contend with you. And when Satan comes against you, when Satan comes as a roaring lion, you stand. And he has no other thing than to flee. Just flee. Just flee. Now, let me go over this. Now I'm going to have people come down here to the altar. Take a deep breath. We're not emotional. Look at the one next to you. He said, I'm not emotional. You've got to understand your responsibility. You must go before the high court. So, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Just like you go to prayer. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you just make a stand and say, Father God, I stand before your high court. I stand before you as a righteous judge. I bring with me I accuse him. He's spent his life accusing me and trying to destroy me. And today I bring Satan before this high court and I accuse him of his theft, of his destruction, of his killing, destroying things in my life. And this day I bind him up that he can do that no longer in my life, my children, my grandchildren, my finances, my ministry, my job. I bind him up in the name of Jesus. And this day, Father God, I demand restitution from the thief. And the least amount, according to your word, binding precedent, is how much? Double. And when you get in agreement and bring witnesses with you that out of your mouth every word's established, then you're going to start receiving. Now, so Brother Bill, that all sounds a little weird. It may sound a little weird, but let me tell you this. When I learned this about 10 years ago, I started confessing it. And for a two-month period, two or three times a day, when I was by myself, when I was driving down the road, when I didn't have anything to do, I wasn't thinking about, man, how's them Yankees doing? Are you there? No. I said, Father, before your court, I bring the thief. And I went through this just step by step, just like I've given you today. And I demanded restitution. And I demanded restitution. Do you know at that time, Barbara and I had our house that we live in now given to us. Given to us. We had a car given, a truck given to us. The list goes on of finances, thousands and thousands of dollars that came into our hands. Why? Because of restitution coming back to us from places we didn't even know. Many years ago, I was at a church and we were in a building project and I didn't take, it came time for raises. I didn't take the raises. Barbara didn't take her money. I didn't take mine. It was 3 or 4 years. We didn't take a raise, any kind of money. And they said, oh, okay, we'll just put this in an account. We'll just owe this to you. And when the time comes and money gets available and we're not building and doing things, you realize if money gets tight, I'm the first that doesn't get paid. I pay the suppliers. And you want me to pay John, don't you? John, you want paid first? John, you'll have to speak up. I can't hear you. Yeah, everybody wants theirs first. Amen? But I'm the first. And we put that aside. When we left there, they owed us thousands of dollars, $14,000, $15,000, okay? And when I walked away, one of the men that was particularly unhappy with me said, you'll never see that. And I said, okay, you know, big deal. It's all right because he's not the thief. And I'm not going to let anything a man says to me cause such bitterness and hate in my heart to destroy my ministry and my life. Amen. We begin to plead restitution, Barbara and I. We begin to speak the word of God before the righteous judge. And things that we remembered that we had lost, that were stolen from us, we took those individually and pleaded them. And before long, I was running out of things I could remember, so I just took Satan every day and just said, he's a thief, he's stolen from me, I demand restitution. And there was money coming in. You wouldn't believe money and things that were coming in. I'm thinking, oh, this is good, this way, wow, this is the way it ought to be, amen? And then a letter came in the mail. It was from the church that owed me money. We're talking about 8, 9 years later. And there's a check in there for $8,000-some-odd. It wasn't what they owed me, but $8,000 was enough. Ask me if I settled. My son said, My son said he'd done something, and there was a check coming for, I don't know, $300,000 or $400,000. And I said, oh, man, that's great. And he said, no, Dad, that's nothing. That's nothing. I thought, well, it's something to me. He said, it's nothing till you get the check. And once you're holding it in your hand, then it's something. Yeah, oh, well, holding that in my hand, I was happy as a little pig in the sunshine. Man, we're getting happy here. And I wrote them back a letter. I remember writing them back a letter saying, you know, this had to be one of the hardest decisions to make that I can imagine. I mean, this is a board. A few of them knew me. This is a new pastor that didn't know me at all. And to give $8,000+ away, that's a chunk. I mean, if you like to take $8,000 out of your budget. And I wrote them back. I said, this had to be a hard decision, you know, because most people would like to say, well, that's been a long time. He probably forgot about it by now, which I had. Man, if you forgive somebody about it, you know, just it's done. It's over. Big deal. So you ought to get that money. Well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to get bitter about it? What are you doing with your life? Are you getting bitter because of something that happened in the past, the way somebody treated you, the way some, and it ruins the rest of your life, the relationship with other people? But anyway, I said, a good name is more to be desired than gold and silver. And I just applauded them for making that decision. Of course, Barbara and I danced all the way to the bank with that check. Are you there? Now, every time God gives you something, you can rejoice over it. A new house? Maybe you like a new house. Maybe you like a new car. Maybe you like checks in the mail. How many of you like God just to bless you everywhere you go? And you start getting double, 4 times, 5 times, 7 times back. Now, if you will keep your attitude right and take this, and you have to speak it. You have to say it. You have to speak it with your mouth. You are doing battle here. And again, 3-4 times a day, I was serious. I was intense. I was focused about this. I would take Satan before God's high court. I would come before that righteous judge. I would bring the thief, and this is the thief, and he has stolen from me. And I demand restitution, and I'd have Barbara and I'd pray. We were the witnesses that stood together, and God just started pouring it out. If you'd like that to happen in your life, it is available to you. Or you can go away from here and be a forgetful hearer. You can say, man, that's the wildest message I ever heard in church. Going before God's court, taking Satan, binding him up so he can't get you anymore, demanding he pay you back twice what he stole. That's kind of on the outer edge, isn't it? But as your faith is, so be it unto you. And when it starts happening, and the finances start flowing in, and God starts doing some great things, and you start getting excited and dancing around, would you do me a favor? Would you just come up and say, Pastor, I've been doing that. Oh, man, God is good to me. The righteous judge will do right by his righteous people. Is that what it says from last week? All right. How many of you need something? You there? We're going to open the altars. Musicians, if you'd come, if you need to be prayed for, musicians, stay down there in the front and we'll pray for you first. This is kind of a laid-back, non-emotional altar call. But if you want what God's got for you, it's available. Because let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Amen.